I've been on and off here a little bit. Last week, Lexi was sick, so I wasn't here, but I did have a chance to listen to Richie's message online. I love this series. I love the fact that when God gives Richie a word of the year, I always want to know, like, tell me as soon as he gives it to you, because I always want to know early, but I love this word of the year first. I love it. As soon as he told me, I was like, yes, there's so much I anticipate God doing with this one word. And so that is our word of the year. First is our word of the year. We believe that, that word, not only does it represent something special to us. It focuses our attention. As a church, it's one of the things that we love to do. We refer back to that in almost every single sermon series that we do. And we can see God weaving a beautiful thread throughout the year of that. So I'm really excited about this word first. Last week, Richie talked about hope floats. And I love that he said that. I love that he used the analogy of God being an anchor for our soul and that we are anchored to him. And as I started praying and really just asking the Lord, like, what does he want us to say? And, Richie kind of goes through the sermon series and he's like, hey, can you talk about this? And so I started praying about that. And I was like, man, this is weird. Like, I feel like I can't get into my preaching groove, Like, I was like, I don't know why, but I don't think I'm supposed to talk about that. I think I'm supposed to talk about something else. And he was like, well, yeah, that's fine. Just whatever the Lord leads on your heart. And I was like, okay. So I really started praying, and when he shared with the word with me in October, I really felt like the Lord started developing in me this like desire to pray for relationships, real strong relationships. And so I was like, okay, Lord, relationships are kind of my thing. I'm a people person, so this is easy for me. I was like, perfect. But then I felt like he started taking me into specifics into relationships, like the dynamics of relationships. And so I'm very excited today about sharing with you a little bit about what God's put on my heart for that. I think the question that I want to keep in the forefront of our thoughts is this: what should the key relationships in our life look like when we keep God first? What should they look like? Not what do they look like, but what should they look like when we keep God first? Today we made bookmarks for you. If you're old school like me, you like a bookmark. I love bookmarks. And we put on there all the scriptures that we're going to talk about today. They're all on there. The breakdown, I'm giving you guys a heads up, look on there, what we're going to talk about today. So there's a breakdown if you want to follow along. So let's go right into it today, but one of the things that I think in the summer the Lord kind of challenged me on is stop using other people's interpretation of the scripture as gospel. Ask me. I wrote it. Who better to tell you about the word of God than the author of the word of God? And I had this vision one day. I was doing my devotions, and I had this vision of me like sitting there in a, this is weird, right? As an adult, sitting in a high chair with a bib on, and someone's feeding me like this. And I thought, I don't like the way that feels. And the Lord's like, and that's what it looks like when you run to somebody else to give you what I'm trying to speak to you through my word. And so from that moment on, I was so grateful because last year, Malia bought me a Bible. And if you open up my Bible and you thumb through it, you'll be like, whoa, she's cramming for a test, because it has highlights and lines, and I write notes and I write, hey, God, what did you mean here? And I just talk real freely and openly with him in the word. But I'll tell you, it's taken on a new dynamic. I take my phone and I put it in the kitchen when I do my devotions because I don't want any distractions. And you can verify this with Richie. Inevitably, I get distracted and I end up on Amazon. And when he wakes up, he's like, babe, I thought you were spending time with the Lord for 2 hours, not shopping. So this has been really great, just taking that and removing the distraction of that and just me and him time. And I love the dynamic of how he's taken me and how scriptures that I've heard my entire life have taken on a fully new meaning, because it's in that moment, in the grace for that season, that I needed to hear what he's speaking to me. And so this verse, this chapter right here, these couple of verses that we're going to talk about today, this is a verse that I've heard my entire life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? And his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. From the time I was in kids' church with Sister Kathy, okay? That was her name. That was my Sunday school teacher's name. We talked about this verse. So I've heard it my entire life. But as I studied the word first, and as I studied this verse in the Bible, it took on a brand new meaning. So I want to read it together. And it's Matthew 6, 31 through 33. And I'm reading in the ESV. And it says, therefore, do not be anxious. I want you to highlight that in whatever you're studying. Do not be anxious. Highlight it. Saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows. Highlight that. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek ye first. Circle that first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let's break it down one more time. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I thought it was so interesting in there when I really started studying that verse, because eat, drink, and wear. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? And what am I going to wear? Those are like your most basic needs, right? We got to eat to live. We've got to have water or something to drink, right? And we need to not go to jail, so we need clothes. So those are our most basic needs. And I think it's so interesting because in the word of God, he is telling his disciples this before he sends them out. And he's saying in the very, I don't want you to worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything, especially about your most basic needs. It took me back for a second because I'm thinking, as an Italian, okay, what are we going to eat is like, the moment my eyes wake up in the morning, right? Okay. I had one child who would roll over in her little bassinet and say, nummies, before my eyes had even awakened in the morning, right? So I feel like what are we going to eat is like, that's just a standard. If you're a mom, you hear this 9,000 times a day. What are we going to eat? Are we going to eat? I'm hungry. What are we going to eat? So the fact that God is telling these men, I don't want you to worry about your most basic needs. I don't want you to be anxious about the fact that if you seek me first, I'm going to meet your most basic needs. And then I started thinking about, Lord, our priority is you. Our number one priority is you. Our relationship with God is our first priority above all else. And then when we do that, he adds. But he doesn't add until he's number one. He doesn't add until he's number one. A lot of us feel like in our life that our relationships that maybe we're in right now, whatever those look like, that we don't feel like they're an addition. We feel like they're a subtraction from us. And I want to challenge you that if he is not number one, no matter what it is, you're going to be doing it in your flesh. No matter what it is. So the very first priority is that he's number one. He's got to be number one. He's got to be our first priority. The other two areas that I want to talk about today, and this is where I really feel like the Lord was leading us, is that when he's number one and he adds, there are two key areas of relationships that I really think he wants us to focus on, and that's in our friendships and romantic relationships. Friendships and romantic relationships. When we put God first, what do these relationships, how should they look? How do we know if this is an addition? How do we know that God is adding in those moments? The friendships that we have need to be earmarked by three things. The first is boundaries, forgiveness, and betterment. The three areas that our friendships need to be earmarked by, meaning if I'm in relationship, the way I can know if we're in a good place and if we're healthy, if this is a God-added relationship, is that if we have boundaries, if that we walk in forgiveness, and that we're getting better together. There are some people, you know, you could just be in their presence and you're like, I just feel better when I'm with them. I just feel good when I'm with them. Let's talk about boundaries for a second. Proverbs 13:20, and again, this is on your bookmark. Proverbs 13:20 says this, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm." That's a boundary. That's a boundary. God has given us boundaries and relationships for a reason. We're not establishing codependency. That means I don't call that person every single time I need to talk. I have someone in my life right now, and I love her dearly. The problem is she's struggling in her work relationships and her work situation, and so she's calling me multiple times a day. And I'm trying to establish boundaries. And so the other day, I didn't answer her phone call until the end of my day. And I'm thinking, this is how we establish healthy boundaries. We have to put some markers in there, because I can't be your crutch every time you need to talk. I need you to go to God. I need you to run to Him. So if you start seeing that in your relationships with others where maybe you don't have healthy boundaries, I would say ask the Holy Spirit this year to give you wisdom on that. Because what the worst thing that you want is to start avoiding people, right? Because we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to deal with it. So establish those healthy boundaries. The next thing is forgiveness. This seems obvious, like, right, duh, we should be forgiving. But what I really want to break that down to is offense. We get offended easily when someone who we believe is a God friendship in our life calls us on our crap. All of a sudden, we avoid that person, right? Because offense has come up. And instead of looking at it and saying, you know, maybe that person was coming from a really good place, and maybe they really do love me. Their delivery was terrible, but they really do love me. I think if we go back to that, and if we use that as a filter for the relationships that we have, that we would see there's probably a lot of relationships in our life where God has added a person, but we didn't really like the way that they communicated with us, or maybe we had a little bit of a problem with the way that they called us on something. And so instead of being accountable in that moment and saying, hey, listen, I appreciate what you said to me. There's times in my marriage that I have to do this. I appreciate what you said to me. How many of you went through Emotionally Healthy? Raise your hand. Okay, so if you went through the Emotionally Healthy series with us, or the book with us, then you notice, you remember this? I notice and I prefer, right? I notice and I prefer. This is a great way for you to communicate. Hey, I notice, I'm taking notice of what you said about me, but this is what I would prefer. So like if you have to call me on my junk, that you would say, hey, can we talk? So that I know you're coming from a good place. But I think that in order for us to do that, we have to walk in a pattern of forgiveness. It reminds me of Jesus on the cross when he says to these people that are spitting on him and cursing him, and these people that he was literally dying to save, yet they would never accept him, never accept him as Lord. And he looks up to his Father and he says, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Do we live like that? Or do we walk around offended? We got to ask ourselves that question. Do I live in that way? Matthew 6:14 says this, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. The next area is betterment. Betterment. This is that iron sharpens iron. I get better when I'm with you because you bring something to the table. I know that sounds a little bit harsh, maybe, like, what do you mean bring something to the table? But I mean, our relationship should be an ebb and flow, meaning like I'm not always needing something from you. I have something to bring to the relationship. That means when I'm in communication with Malia, Malia can say, hey, sis, here's what I feel like God's showing me for you. I prayed this and God showed me this about you. So I love that. The same thing with her. She talked about Team Rally today, about a little her testimony in Team Rally today. And I love that because I did text her at 5 a.m. And I said, hey, we need to talk about what happened last night. And I was excited because we have that mutual friendship. You want that with people. You want that betterment. You don't want to always be the crutch for people. It's exhausting. You also don't want to be the one that's always, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? pick up the phone. It needs to be mutual. There needs to be some mutual relationship. We need to get better together. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So those are the three areas: boundaries, forgiveness, and betterment. Now I wanna move on to this, and I'm gonna sit on this for just a few minutes, but I wanna talk about romantic relationships. And I know some of you are like, what about kids, our children, right? So our kids, we need to talk about kids. We are gonna talk about kids in the next series a lot and those parent relationships. So stay tuned for next series. But I really felt like in October when Richie was, you know, just shared with me the word of the year, I really felt like the Lord wanted us to pray for romantic relationships. And I thought, this is really weird. Like, I don't know if I've ever had the Lord ask me to pray for romantic relationships. Marriages, but romantic relationships. It was very, very interesting to me. So let's start with marriages. I really started praying, okay, Lord, if it's romantic relationships, then teach me what you're, show me what you're trying to do. What do you want me to pray? And I really felt like in the area of marriage specifically, that there's two things this year that God wants to restore in marriages, and it's intimacy and vulnerability. Intimacy and vulnerability. You cannot have intimacy without vulnerability. You cannot. It is impossible. It is just sex at that point in time, and I'm gonna say it just like that. That's how it is. You have to be vulnerable with one another. You have to be willing to share your heart with another person. When you said, I do, a lot of times what it looked like was, I do until it gets tough. I do until you touch something on the inside that's a wound or a shadow, and then I'm out. We have a lot of people in our life who we've seen move away from situations or move out of relationships because it became a point of contention. It became a point of, I'm not okay with what I'm hearing you say right now. I don't like the way that you're treating me right now. And we were having this conversation. We do this sometimes with our kids, but the other day, I told Richie, I said, I want you just to be okay. I'm going to have a little exercise. I feel like the Lord showed me. I want to ask our girls some questions from our past, and I want to see how they respond. And so we kind of started going through some scenarios, and I was like, what would you do if? And then I started giving them, like, you know, whatever the situation was. Richie left and we went to Texas, and, you know, little different things. Like, how would you respond in this situation? And I gave Mia a tougher, you know, question. And I said, how would you feel if this happened? And she goes, I wouldn't leave mom because I made a covenant. And I thought, man, at 15, Lord, thank you. And listen, this is not to cause shame or not to cause hurt or not to cause anything if you're in a spot where this is not the case. But I will tell you something, that from a very young age, you can teach your children that the word of God is true. And that if you stand on the word of God, come hell or high water, no matter what, if you made a covenant and a commitment, God will honor that. But you have to restore vulnerability in those situations. You have to be vulnerable. You have to lower your heart and serve another person. And that's tough. That's tough. And I wanted to plug in a verse here, and I wanted to go to Corinthians, and I wanted to plug it in because that's what makes sense, right? Love is patient, love is kind, you know, all those things. So I wanted to just plug it in. That makes sense, Lord. And then the Lord brought me to this verse, and I want to break it down for you. It's Galatians 5:13, and it says, For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but do not use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That hit me when God plugged that in right here. And let me tell you why. Because we are free. We are free in Christ. Yet some of us use our freedom to satisfy our flesh. Some of us stonewall our spouse because I can do that. Some of us withhold from our spouse, I can do that. If we are free, don't use your freedom to gratify your flesh. That's a flesh desire. For me to hurt another person because I feel hurt, that's a flesh reaction. the moment that I say, in this moment, Lord, I don't feel valued right now, but I know that this isn't about me and I don't fight flesh and blood. I fight against the spirit. So I'm coming against everything that try to come against my marriage right now. When you do that, the Holy Spirit takes over. And that, whatever you're feeling in that moment, whether it be, I don't feel valued, I don't feel loved, whatever it is in that moment, the Lord, the Holy Spirit fills that place. There are some of you in here who have walked through tough stuff. That's why I'm crying. There are some of you who have walked through hard places. But the Holy Spirit is saying, if you would be vulnerable, just stay vulnerable. Don't let hardness grow up. Don't let that hard heart nature, don't let it grow up. God is saying, because in that moment, I'm telling you, your spouse is going to know me in a deeper way, in a more intimate way, because he's going to see truly what it looks like to serve someone else, truly what it looks like to serve another person. So we're not going to use our freedom as a means to hurt other people. A couple of years ago, it was probably 8 or 10 years ago, we went through a tough time, a really tough time in our marriage. And it wasn't that we had done anything outside of the marriage, but it was just we were at a place where we couldn't come to an agreement and we were struggling. And I would close my eyes and I would feel like we were standing on a cliff and we weren't looking at each other like, we can do this. We were like, let's just let go and just be done, right? I don't know if any of you, I'm going to be vulnerable in here. I'm going to be honest with you guys. This is just how I am. And so we were struggling. We were frustrated with each other. And so out of desperation, Richie says, that's it. We're going to counseling. And I was like, praise God, right? So we've shared this story with you guys before. So we go to counseling and the counselor, you know, I tell him my story. Richie tells him his part of the story. And then he says, Misty, I want to see you. And I'm like, no, you want to see him. Like more sessions with him, right? And he's like, no, I want to have a couple more sessions just with you. So I go in and I tell him and I'm like, this is what I'm dealing with here. I feel like I can't connect to his heart. I can't relate to what he's saying. I don't know if he's mad, pissed off, happy. I don't know. I don't know what to do. And so he said, what is the Holy Spirit telling you to do in those moments? I was like, well, listen, it's going to sound crazy, but I think the Holy Spirit's telling me to put him in a headlock, yank him down, flip him over. I was like, I think that's what the Holy Spirit's definitely telling me. He was like, no, that's not the Holy Spirit. So he was like, the next time you're in a situation like that, I want you to pray. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what do you want me to do right now? What are you teaching me in this moment right now? And so that's what I did. So I said to him, hey, I can tell you're a little in a mood. I just want you to know if you want to talk, I'm here. He said, okay, thanks, and hung up the phone. So I went back to Mike. Mike, your advice is wrong. That is not okay. He was like, Misty, you're not watching his nonverbal. I need you to watch his body language and his nonverbal. There's something going on, but he doesn't feel like he can share it with you because you're going to fix it. He wants to just talk. And I was like, okay. So the next time this happened, I can remember I was cooking in the kitchen and I could... This is what Richie does. I'm giving our secrets away, babe. So this is what he does. I'm cooking. He walks past the kitchen. Then he walked the other way. And I'm thinking like, okay, stop pacing. I get it. Dinner's on the way. Hurry, I'm hurrying up. You know, that's what I'm thinking is happening, right? Because I'm clueless. And then he just stares at me. And I'm like... I know, I'm getting dinner ready, I'm sorry. And he goes, no, I was just, you know, kind of thinking about something. And I thought, oh my God, this is it. He wants to be vulnerable. And I was like, hold on, I'm gonna order pizza. I'm like, I don't wanna cook anymore, I wanna just be all in. And so really, honestly, it was so awkward and weird, but that really broke open that moment of, Misty, that person that you have made a covenant with, that you've been in relationship with, you're trying to take them and make them fit into the square peg that you've placed them in. And that's not how God designed him. You're going to have to stop wanting him to react and respond the way you do, but you're going to have to allow him to be who God's called him to be. And he talked about that last week when he talked about we made a commitment that we were going to stop controlling each other. That was that time right there. That was that time. Because in that moment, I just needed to be there for him. And he just needed to talk. And honestly and truthfully, I don't even remember if he even said anything that was of value, like at that moment, right? It was probably something like, I'm just real frustrated at this situation. And that's all it was. But it started the ball rolling in something for our marriage that was vital, vulnerability. Because guess what increased in that moment, guys? Our intimacy. Because we could unload ourselves and we could be exactly who God had called us to be. And we didn't have to have pretense. And it didn't have to be like, I'm all perfect and put together and so are you. And if you're not right now in this moment, you need to act like it, right? We could just be like, if you go back and you listen over the last 5 years of messages, we do not sugarcoat or pretend in this church at all. We try to be very vulnerable in here. We try to be very truthful. And the reason being is because it does you no good. It does you or your spouse in your marriage any good if we're faking it till we make it. It doesn't do you any good. In those moments, we have to be vulnerable with each other. We have to say, I'm struggling right now and I don't know why, but can you just pray for me? I'm struggling right now and I don't know why, but I want to be vulnerable with you. I want to be here with you. So keep that in mind as you move forward. The last area here is in our dating relationships. And this was weird because I don't know if I've ever had God tell me, pray for dating relationships, like pray for people that are single to be dating. I don't know. It was weird. But in October, this is what, you know, what I felt like the Lord kind of brought to my attention. And the verse that I want to use to describe this is Romans 8:5-6. And it says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is peace. If you didn't hear Team Rally, it'll be up on the website in a couple of days, but Malia talked about a dating relationship, a situation where the Lord had allowed her to basically be in a dating situation again. And so her and I kind of talked about it and I couldn't wait to talk to her about it the next day. And I was like, so how'd it go? 7 years? Well, what happened? You know? And so, so we had this great conversation. And as I could hear her talk, what I heard was not like giddy, girly, like chatter, which is what I expected, right? As women, that's what we expect. What I heard her say was, I don't know, because the Lord has done so much in me that I don't want to go backwards. And I was like, in that moment, I thought, girl, this was not a test of like, hey, he's the one. This is a test of like, this is your health. This is how healthy you are now. Before, that would have been something easy, flesh grab, easy. But all of a sudden, she's in a situation where for 7 years, she's allowed the Lord to do a deep work in her heart, a deep inner healing in her heart. So that way, when she's across the table from someone who looks good, but on the inside, she can see, oh man, our spirits aren't aligned. I'm sorry. I gotta go. Wow. I was blown away at that moment because I'm thinking she could have in that moment said, okay, I mean, you know, we could try it. You know, but instead what she said was, I'm sorry, God's done a lot inside of me. She didn't say it to him, but she said it to me. She was like, I'm not going backwards, miss. I'm not going backwards. And I was so proud of her in that moment because I thought this is such a great test of how far God's brought you and how you've stayed in it to let him do the work inside of you. But there are some of you in here that are the complete opposite of that. You're like, I will never again. And I'm telling you right now that if you just allow the Holy Spirit to heal you, to restore inside of you some things, I think that you'll be pleasantly surprised in 2023. Because I really do think that wherever you are, the Lord is taking us into a new level of relationship. And I don't know what that is, and I don't know what that is for you, but I think he wants to restore your hope and your joy that that could ever be an option. I really do. I really do believe he wants to restore that this year. Wherever you are in your relationships, whether they're married, whether you're in a romantic relationship, I think, or whether you're like, no way, not at all, I think God is bringing us to the next step in that. But first, he's got to be first. He's got to heal. You got to allow him to heal. And then he's going to take you to the next step, whatever that is. Remember, if we keep him first, he adds, it's going to be a blessing in your life. It's not going to be a curse. And I want to remind you of something we talked about in the fall of last year. The red flags, guys, if you're in a dating relationship, those red flags, pay attention to the red flags. Pay attention. The things that we're going to do in our romantic relationships this year, we're going to seek God first. We're going to deny the flesh. Deny the flesh. We're going to choose wisely. I have a very hard time. Send me an email if you disagree. msarlo09@gmail.com. I have a very hard time believing that the apps are going to bring you God's true love. I have a very hard time. The reason being is because more often than not, Richie and I counsel people who are not only addicted, in my opinion, but they just swipe, 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 swipe. I can look at what you see, look at your profile, and then I can just either decide if I want to stay or move on, stay or move on, stay or move on. You're setting yourself up for a bad place if you're doing that. I'm going to be honest with you. We recently heard a story of an individual who matched with someone. Let's just say it like that, on a dating app. I matched with someone, but he knew the person's backstory. And he thought, ooh, that's not a match for me, because they weren't healthy. And here's what I told that person. That person you knew about, but what about all the other people you match with and you start having conversations with that you don't know about? You get hooked in to a situation, and then all of a sudden, you've given a little piece of yourself, a little piece of yourself, a little piece of yourself. I want to encourage you this year, if that's where you've been, if you've been on dating apps, if you've been on all this stuff, shut it down. Put him first. He knows how to add. I had no idea who Richie Sarlo was. No idea. When I went to go hear that preacher that day at that church, I had never met him before in my life. I didn't even go to that church. And then all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to me and says, "That's your husband?" Weird. Weird, right? If weird things like that can happen because that's who God called me to be with, do you think if we can trust him with our most basic needs, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, and what we're going to drink, do you not think that he's going to add the relationships that need to be in your life? He will. He's so faithful that way. And it's not going to become because you were swiping right. It's going to become because you were on your face before the Lord. And all of a sudden, when you're looking at him, people come into your life and you're like, "Nope, Lord, I'm just seeking you. I'm just seeking you." And the Lord speaks to your heart and says, "Hey, say hi to that person." It's like that. That's how he does it. That's how he does it. So I want to encourage you this year, church, wherever you are in that process, married, single, heck no. If that's your profile status, heck no. Okay. Whatever your profile status is right now, I want to encourage you, take the next step of allowing God to heal those relationships, to develop new ones, to grow inside of you. As the worship team is getting ready to play, I want you to close your eyes if you would with me. And I want to read this scripture over you. And then I want to pray. And it says this, Psalms 119:37 says, "Turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word." Lord, this year, as we seek you first, Lord, we thank you that the promise associated with that is that you're going to add. Lord, I thank you that we can open our hand and we can give whatever relationships you put inside of it back to you. Because we know that when we do that, God, that we honor you. Lord, I thank you that this year you're not into creating idols, Lord, but you're into restoring healthy relationships. So Lord, I thank you for those friendships that we have, the ones that are already there, the ones that are already developed. God, I pray that this year we would learn to walk free of offense. Lord, that we would love people exactly where they are. Father God, and I pray that when we communicate with each other, Lord, that we would walk in forgiveness. Lord, that we would constantly be helping people get better. Lord, those relationships in our life, God, that we would get better together, God. I thank you for teaching us how to establish healthy boundaries in relationships this year. God, and I thank you that even in our romantic relationships, Lord, in husband and wife relationships, God, I thank you that this year, 2023, God, you're gonna restore vulnerability and intimacy. God, I thank you in Jesus' name, Lord, that you are gonna heal, Lord, that you are gonna deliver, that you are gonna save people. God, and I thank you that if we are married and our spouse does not know you, God, we call them forth this year in Jesus' name. We call forth those relationships, God, that are not as though they are. Father God, we call them forth this year, God. I thank you, Father, that you're gonna teach us how to love and how to be vulnerable. God, I pray that you would heal our hearts so that in such a way that we could be vulnerable with each other. And Lord, I thank you that you're gonna restore intimacy. Lord, that deep connection with one another, Father God, we thank you for restoring that. And Lord, in our dating relationships this year, God, that we're gonna put you first. God, I come against every flesh desire that does not align with your word. Lord, I pray you put a boundary over our heart. You will put a guard over our heart this year, God. Those singles in this room, Father, that are in every stage of that singleness journey, God, whether they're the ones that say, I'm not ever dating again, whether they're the ones that are dating or whether they're the ones that are engaged, God, I pray you would petition an army of angels to guard their heart. Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name that each individual would seek you first. God, that their relationships with you would be so strong, God. Lord, we thank you that when you do add that three-stranded cord, God, that it wouldn't be broken, Father God. I thank you for, Lord, in the area specifically this year of loneliness, people who feel lonely, God, I pray you would fill their heart's desires. God, that you would fill them to overflowing. We thank you for restoring this year, God, and we thank you that as we put you first, God, you're gonna add, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.